Covfefe. Covfefe.
I hope that the president somehow gets a royalty check every time that word is said, because it's being said a lot. He invented a word a couple days ago. I hope he was savvy enough to quickly copyright the word.
Invented, I don't know. Sean Spicer claims there are a select few that knew exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
They're living in Area 51.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, they are.
Why don't you just say the truth?
That he either nodded off or he hit the wrong button or the spell check failed him.
Trump made a joke of it.
Right.
Well, he sort of did, yeah.
Which is closer than we've ever seen
he
before.
He said, if anyone knows the true meaning of the word, what was it, let me know or let us know?
No, he said, yeah, have fun figuring it out or something like
Enjoy.
That.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, he's famously not a drinker. And
I know.
And there's never a better case of like, right, well, you know, I just had to... I had one too many martinis at dinner with the Austrian prime minister or something. But, you know, that's not the case.
He's never, ever had a drink.
Right.
That surprised me. Good for him.
Yeah, very good for him. Very good for him. All right. Now, I hate to start the show off with some bad news, but I think I have bad news for you, although you already may know this. Maybe I'm the last person to know this, but I found something out this morning. No, that Manuel Noriega has passed away. No, that happened the other day, Steve. But this morning, as I come in, I just want something small to snack on, like a bagel would be fine, or if there's a donut, just something small, right? So normally on a day like that, I would pick it up on the way to work, but I didn't. And then I got in and I go, well, there's a standby. There's the reliable cafe that we have here. The commissary.
Oh, the WGN, well, the Tribune cafeteria.
Right. Guess what?
They have a new thing going.
Gone.
It's dead in the mornings.
Gone.
Yeah, but they have a new thing at lunch where they are highlighting a different restaurant every single day.
It's a pop-up sort of thing.
Yeah.
They call it Fooda.
The food is better and it's cheaper. Go figure.
Fooda.
Fooda.
Yeah.
Like UH?
No, like just food and then with the letter A at the end.
Why?
Well, now that the president
would
started,
be better.
I know, but the president started this trend now where if somebody just wants to make up a word for something, all you have to do is put letters down and it's a done deal.
Fooda?
Fooda.
It's pretty cool. You can download the app and then you see what they're serving today and tomorrow and all
so
that
So it's
stuff.
A pop-up, much like what goes on across the street at the shopping
Which
center.
Which you loved when we used to stay here for lunch.
I love that. So now it's right here in our building, but the cafeteria here had been in existence forever. Like
Sergeant Bilko's?
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know it existed. When I started here, you had been here long before me and Bertrand long before you.
Right.
And I didn't even know there was a building cafeteria.
Yeah.
That was exciting news to me.
It did, well, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but it had deteriorated greatly.
It was horrendous.
It was not horrendous.
It was pretty bad.
It was awful.
I liked their omelets.
But, well, if you had something made, but today now down there it's Pita Heaven Day.
Oh, that's for lunch.
Yeah,
Fooda.
Fooda, right?
I pray to Fooda.
I got the menu on my phone. You want a falafel wrap?
Oh, that doesn't sound bad.
I'm good.
That does not sound that bad. But much like many cafeterias, anyone I've ever experienced anyway, we would tend to have a love hate relationship with it. It was always handy. It's right in the building.
Right.
If you needed something, it was there. But then when you would have it, you would need your stomach pumped very soon thereafter.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It was never very good.
The main thing I got there was a fountain Diet Coke.
Well, that, you can't screw that up.
No.
Well, I guess you could screw that up.
If there was no effervescence in it. Covfefe.
Yeah.
If I was ever in the mood for tortilla soup, I knew I could go there and have
it. You and Kevin.
I never was in the mood for tortilla soup.
But nor was there. I.
But they served it every day.
Yeah, it was always there. It was okay. It was decent.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing you want to have every month.
When I started here, and there are people. Steve, you've been here how many years?
32.
32
That's
years.
That's amazing, by the way, Steve.
That is amazing.
That's inertia.
That is, yes.
Fooda.
That's what they should have called their restaurant. Inertia is better than Fooda. All right, so I've not been here anywhere near as long as Steve, but when I started here, like if you came in the morning... There was an incredible array of pastries and donuts. And
coffee.
Incredible. Like, you couldn't believe.
Incredible? I don't know.
I swear to you. But then every year, that got a little stingier and stingier. And then the last time I went in was like 6 weeks ago.
They had a saltine cracker.
Oh, right. It's terrible.
Canned cheese to put on it.
Right. And the guy
and
would spray
it
himself. He wouldn't even let me spray it.
Two crackers with spray cheese. That's $52.
So, yeah, but, so that restaurant is a thing of the past.
But when the tater tots were hot.
They were good.
In the morning, they were very good.
They were good.
You and Kevin have the same eating habits pretty much.
Yeah, and not the same body.
Well, you've got a couple of years on him.
You've been here longer than Kevin's been on the planet.
That is freaky.
That is freaky.
It's true.
I don't know how to take that, if that's a slam to Bertrand.
No,
or...
it's amazing. Think about that.
I can't.
Steve has been working here at WGN longer than Kevin, our producer, has
been alive.
Wow.
Boy, you're experienced.
A legend. Just say a legend.
A walk of famer.
A legend.
Alleged.
And we're all pitching in to get you a Fuda gift certificate, Steve.
Oh, thank you for that.
Come up with a better name.
They didn't really spend much time on the name, did they? They could do much better than
I'm
that.
I'm sure it means something.
I guess.
Let me look and see if they explain themselves. I don't know, but I mean,
Fuda.
I've told you this before.
Foodtopia.
Now, that's a name. That's a great name.
Because they have different things every day.
Foodacopia.
All right, that's even better. Fuda.
It's not Covfefe. It doesn't sound like it's finished.
Let's change it to Covfefe. Let's just get a marker.
I don't know if you have this by you, but where I live in Evanston, there are kids. There are teenage kids.
You have kids in Evanston?
Yeah, we have our own kids now. So when they talk, not all the kids in Evanston, but many of them, they'll add, if they're in the kind of moaning mode, they will add the letter A at the end of their word or sentence.
Example?
Like, you could tell them something that's obvious, and they'll go, I know, you know? Like, the word A comes in at the end for some weird reason. It's like a Valley Girl speak, but it's North Shore. I don't know why, but it exists. So I kiddingly do that, too. Like, if my wife tells me something, I'll go, you don't have to tell me, I know, like that, just to be, all right. So that's what Fuda sounds like to me.
You're
like,
right.
It was invented by a 16-year-old from the North Shore.
All right, well, see, now it makes sense to me.
Now I kind of like it. Yeah.
Fuda.
Yeah, now it's better. All right, we will take a quick break and then explore other things with you. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. I know what a huge White Sox fan you are. Were you surprised by the news yesterday that Ken Hawk Harrelson will no longer be the White Sox announcer after next season? Did this shock you?
No, he's been cutting back quite a bit, and he's just going to be doing, Sunday home games in 2018, something like
that. Yeah, they announced a schedule now. As of last year, he started cutting back in that, and this is a very curious move for me. He decided he was only going to do away games. He was not going to do home games, which you would almost think, if you were going to cut back and make your schedule a little easier, wouldn't you do the opposite? Wouldn't you only do home games and not away games?
He wanted the free flights.
Is that what it is?
He wanted to travel the world before he retired.
He's a very smart man then. Good for him. All right, so that happened last year that they made that switch, and they got a guy named Jason Benetti, who I think is fantastic.
He's really good.
Amazingly good. And the combination of he and Steve Stone together is really powerful.
And they just signed Spinetti for a couple of years, I think.
Good, because I'm a huge fan of his.
He is really good.
I don't know where he came. I have no idea where they found him. I don't know where he came from. But
just a fan.
Is that true?
That's my understanding. We can get some more information on that. We should send a can of corn to
Mercy. <Hawk. laughs> I know I've told you this. Not that this is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But there are a dozen phrases that he says every game. He waits for his chance, and then he'll say can of corn, or he'll say, he just gave him a cookie.
And what?
He just gave him a cookie, which means a pitcher throws
Oh, he a, just gave him a cookie.
He just gave him a cookie, and that's Ken Harrelson speak for, I don't know why this is referred to as a cookie, because I've had a lot of cookies, and this is not a cookie. But if you give, if you're pitching and you just throw an easy ball right down the middle of the plate and the batter can do with it what he wants, that is a cookie.
He likes foods that start with the letter C.
Right.
Corn. Cookie.
Cookie. He never says Count Chocula. Cod.
Maybe he'll get it in before he retires. But the put it on the board, yes, really became his.
I love that
I do
one.
Too.
I love all of them, but it's just weird. I've equated it to a CNC, which we all had as a kid, where you have 12 different farm animals and you point it at one and it says the same thing. He always says the same thing, just at different points in the game.
It's probably time. And not in a bad way.
He's so good. He's so knowledgeable.
Who's going to say bless his heart first?
Bless his heart. Right, because that once you say bless his heart, you can say any negative thing about anybody you want, but you've blessed their heart.
I didn't go negative. I just think it's time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, when it was him, I'm trying to remember right off the bat, did they pair him with Don Drysdale initially?
Yes,
Right? Because that was a good combination.
I remember, because I used to hang out around those guys back then.
Did
you? I
don't
know why. Not really hang out, but we'd be together at places.
You
back
and,
when I went out.
You and Don Drysdale.
Drysdale was around for, and then he died.
Yes.
Well, that's why he's not doing it anymore, guys.
Yes. Right.
Once, bless his heart.
The White Sox are very strict on their policy.
They are.
Of once you die, you are no longer.
Well, one season.
Right. You get one.
One season.
And then they pull,
And then wasn't Sharon Jackson.
If you're still dead.
Yeah.
With him before he went to the radio, like he got moved to the radio then.
He was with Tom Pachorek.
Right.
Wimpy. That's right, Wimpy. He was with Wimpy for a while.
I love talking Wimpy. I really did.
Yeah, that was fun. And then it was Darren Jackson, DJ.
And then they moved him back to the radio with Ed Farmer. I love Ed Farmer, too.
I do, too.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he does a nice job. For some reason, like, I don't know where anyone went to high school except myself. I know where I went to high school. And Ed Farmer went to St. Rita's. And I have no idea why, but like...
Really?
Yeah, but everybody at like... I don't know where my wife went to high school. I don't know where you went to high school. But if I'm ever on Jeopardy, and the final question is, high school attended by baseball's Ed Farmer, I'm going to win a lot of money. St.
Well,
Rita's.
Good luck with that.
I'm very hopeful.
Today is prom day, by the way, for my son Michael.
Oh, no.
Speaking
today?
Of high school, yeah.
Wait. It's
on
Thursday.
A Thursday. I know. They finished finals. Today's their last day.
Prom is on a Thursday?
I know. I found that to be weird, too. And then graduation is Sunday.
Is it because?
It's because of nothing.
You get the Sizzler a lot cheaper on a Thursday than a Saturday.
I'm telling you right now, I went to a formerly Modern Tuxedo to take him to pick up his tux last night. And, of course, there were four other guys that he knew because it's prom season.
Sure.
And I was talking to some of the moms as we were sitting there because the kids have to try on the tuxes to make sure everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this whole, you drop the kid off at the school, they get on a bus, they go to Navy Pier for prom.
Oh, that's nice.
Then after the prom at Navy Pier, they hop on like a little shuttle and go to one of the boats, the Odyssey or the other one.
Yeah.
And they're on that boat.
The Iliad, I think it is.
The Odyssey and the Iliad.
Oh.
That's
why do I know this? Great literature.
Steve is using his literature
background.
That's
his final today, actually, too, is the lit final.
It all ties in.
But how, I mean.
That's much easier than the old days.
Oh, my God. Right? They let us out when we went to prom. Whoever had their license drove. We didn't.
You'd get hotel rooms?
Maybe.
No, I didn't, Mom.
All I know is, you could pack a lot of beer and ice in a bathtub.
If you wanted to. Nobody did.
To keep the bodies fresh.
Right.
But I'm telling you, as a parent, I love this idea.
That is a good idea.
You can opt out of the boat. The boat was an additional money, but you're already downtown. Why wouldn't you do it? And then we have to pick up our kids at 3:45 in the morning.
Oh, you're doing that at 3:45?
I think Jim will be doing that.
Oh, wow.
Although I'm not going to be able to sleep till he's home anyway.
Right.
But I just love that whole thing, and I was saying that to the moms, like, boy, I don't know about you, but when we were younger, it's like they just released us to run wild.
Right.
And they all looked at me.
Right.
I said, I just heard from other people.
People have told me the story, yeah.
But I like that idea, and I know a lot of schools are doing that. Navy Pier, one of my girlfriend's daughters went to prom a few weeks ago, the same thing. They went to Navy Pier in the grand ballroom, and then they went off on a boat, and then the buses bring them back to school. That's awesome.
Why? I still can't figure out why it's on a Thursday. It's always been on a Saturday. I don't know anyone that's...
Do they have school tomorrow?
No.
No, today is...
Today's their last final.
It's probably a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is, right? If you're renting wherever you're renting, it's cheaper.
I don't know how much the ticket was.
Oh, all right. Because every prom I've ever heard of is always on a Saturday.
Yeah, I have too, I guess. Yeah.
The whole picture thing?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that's over.
I know. I'm trying so hard to tell Michael, when you get older, you're not really going to even remember your prom.
Well, you remember it, but it doesn't.
I don't really remember it because of the beers in the bathtub.
Oh. It just doesn't live up to the hype.
It doesn't. But he's going with a girl he's been friends with for a long time. That's the way to go, to be honest with you.
I always like when a couple announces that they're going as friends, just so there's no confusion.
I know, that
don't
is weird that
anything.
People do
we
say that.
We are going as friends.
But they almost all go as friends now.
But
and
that's what I like.
I understand that, but then you go, the parents go through this, and you know, it's nice. I don't shouldn't say I'm glad it's over, because I enjoyed it too, but you go through this ordeal of going somewhere and posing for pictures, and they don't
yeah,
even like each other.
Yeah, I got that at 4 o'clock today.
But mm-hmm. they don't even like each other that much. You know, we're like taking these pictures that no one's going to look at again. It's kind of crazy.
The girl I went with wanted to go as acquaintances.
The girl I went with wanted to be introduced to me that night.
I did say to one of the moms that, you know, in my day, you couldn't go solo or with a group. You had to have
it.
A date or they wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, that's true.
And she must be younger than I am, because she goes, oh, we just went with a group of kids. And I said, they should have allowed that.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that didn't get to go because they weren't dating anyone.
I always thought that was so unfair. Why? What are you losing if somebody goes by themselves?
I know. And now it's just, I think more people are going in big
without
groups.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, let's take a break. Steve has the news, and then a lot more show, including Steve Byrne, very funny comedian. Stick around. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
Well, I think we just did our whole interview off the air.
Yeah, it went really well. Steve, we want to thank Steve Byrne for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.
This was fun, Steve.
Great. By the way, I was walking here. I walked past Christopher Guest and Jamie Lee Curtis just outside the building.
Did you?
You did not.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to bug him, but it's like, that is like one of my, it just, you know, best
in show.
You should
have invited him to come in with you.
Yeah.
Come on, book our show for us.
That's right, yeah. Guest slash producer, Steve Byrne. We'll get that guy. He's got a knapsack. He looks interesting.
He looks very interesting. Bring him
in. Almost like a Christopher Guest.
Years ago, Chris Guest was on with us. We had him in studio, and he, you know, he's a genius.
Yeah,
but he's very shy. Like, do you remember? It
yes,
took a
I
lot
do.
To get anything
he was
out
in
of
with
him.
Eugene Levy, correct?
Yeah, right. For Best in Show. They were promoting Best
in
Show.
For as hilarious as he is, I've always heard he's a little more recluse, and that factored into the algorithm of, like, don't bug him.
Yeah.
Just don't bug him.
Did they look
just
like they were
it.
Shopping? What were they doing?
They looked happy.
Yeah, well, oh, they weren't fighting or anything?
They weren't fighting.
Right,
they
good.
Looked cool.
Yeah.
You could tell they're both.
They are cool.
Both in black.
Yeah.
Cool glasses. You know,
very trendy.
You look at them, you go, they're in a different tax bracket than I am.
Yes.
I live in.
You can tell by looking at them.
Yeah. They looked successful.
That's so weird you bring that up, though, because sometimes, you know, being in Chicago, we do run into a lot of celebrities, and you just never know if you should say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You try and figure out their vibe, and then what if they're jerks? Then they ruin it for you.
Yeah, every now and then you come across the person you could wait to meet, and you're like, I wish I never met him.
Right.
And
it
it's happened
it.
A handful of times to me, and I just would...
Can you give us a hint as to who disappointed you?
One I don't mind talking about.
Who?
That, for years, I worked at the Comedy Cellar. You know, it's on Louis all the time and everything. Seinfeld is just a person. I'm just like, I love the show.
Yeah.
I enjoy his stand-up. And then just the times I've been around, I'm just like, would it kill you to just be somewhat nice to somebody?
It was just
not
nice
to
you. It just bums me out.
Oh,
it just really
upsetting.
Bums me out. And there's very few people I would ever publicly say something
right.
on the airwaves, because I like to keep things on the up. But it just it's just over the course of years, once or twice you'd see something, you'd be like, oh, maybe he's having a bad day.
Right.
Everybody's entitled to that. But you're just like, why are you so smug? Yeah, I mean, you got 40 Porsches,
right?
You know,
right.
Your wife's beautiful. It just, I don't know. It just always bummed me out. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be that guy. But it just always was a thorn in my side of just like, I think it hurt me more because you see how, and you know how talented he is, too.
Oh, yeah, very.
It's like, I always remember Jack Lemmon said something years ago. He's like, anytime somebody comes up, you know, they'll always remember that 30 or 45 seconds, and that is a gift you can give to somebody else, that they'll remember that, and you can make them happy.
Yeah.
Why not choose to make them happy? And then you go off on a USO tour with Drew Carey, and he's, you know, eating lunch or eating dinner, and we've been hopping to five or six different bases, and everybody comes up to him, hey, Drew, can I... Stands right up, takes a picture.
Good.
And he takes the time
off,
with
takes
them.
Takes the time, and you just like, you know... why can't everybody be as nice as Drew Carey, Steve, or countless others?
I try to tell Wendy because she has, you can't see now, but she has a stun gun and she has it ready at all times.
Oh my
people
God.
People come up to her and she zaps them and I go, you can't keep doing that.
People try to escape me. I will talk to them so long.
Yeah.
But Elvis Costello was like that to me the very first time I, you know, stalked him after a show and I met him and he was really kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe this was just a bad day for him. And then I had since met him and he was really awesome. So
That's nice. You
had a chance for Jerry to kind of, it's not just one and done. He's been kind of smuggish a lot.
Yeah, 7 years. And it, look,
That's
that reputation,
not cool.
I'm not saying something that isn't out there in the ethos either. I mean, there have been many things. If you look it up, it's out there.
Do you think his success is based on a need to spite you? Do you think he said when he was a young comic, I want to succeed just to get at that Steve Byrne and show him what's what?
Yeah. TBS's three-season Sullivan and Son Steve Byrne needs to be put in his place. Couldn't even make it on network television. Basic cable televisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Advertisement-sponsored basic cable television Steve Byrne needs to be put in his place.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fact. People know this.
Well, I think, being from, again, we were talking about Pittsburgh, but I think Pittsburgh has a way of bringing you off your high horse. But I've always been acknowledging that, look, I'm a comedian. When I was taping Sullivan and Son, you know, it's a Warner Brothers lot. So you see, you know, all the sound stages and it's Two Broke Girls and Big Bang Theory and Ellen and all these great shows, Mike and Molly and Melissa McCarthy and all that. And you go out there. And I remember these tours, you know, would always go through the sound stages.
Yeah.
And so outside the sound studios, you see outside all the other shows, Porsches, Lamborghinis, Jaguars, Ferraris. If you came to Sullivan and Son, it looked like a teacher's parking lounge. It was like a Kia Sorento, a Toyota. Roy Wood Jr. used to ride his Huffy, and he'd take the wheel inside with him. Like, dude,
really?
No one is stealing your Huffy on the Warner Brothers lot. So, God has always let me know, hey,
don't
get too high on your haunches there, Bernie.
Now, I know your friends. This is Chicago, so we only have a handful of celebrities, but you're friends with one of our. Yeah, we only have a couple, but you're friends with Vince Vaughn, who is one of our legitimate celebrities. How did you become friends with Vince Vaughn?
A Craigslist.
Yeah.
4 a.m. I was up. No,
what was he selling?
Yeah, a wicker basket. That was he saw me on this. Basically, he did that Wild West comedy tour. And so one of the guys got sick, and he asked Ahmed Ahmed, who's a good friend of mine from the Comedy Store, said, hey, do you know somebody that could fill in? And he said, oh, this guy Steve Byrne just moved here. He's great. So then I went and did the show. And it was one of those shows where you're just like, please let this go well. You're in Vegas. It's 2,500 people. At the time, he was dating Jennifer Aniston. And they put me up first. And I'd just come off this Vegas run where I was doing these 2,000-seat rooms. And I knew how to manipulate the audience and everything. So got a standing ovation at the end.
Awesome.
Coming out of the gates. And Vince is like, oh, this guy seems all right.
Yeah.
So, we became best pals after that. It was just off to the races. So it's been, 12 years now. Peter Billingsley, Ahmed Ahmed, and Vince and I have been friends for a long time. They were all, you know, part of my wedding and everything.
Oh,
Vince
that's
my
so
best
cool.
man. So, yeah, he's just a great, great guy, a solid guy. And he brings that Midwestern value and down-to-earthness, I think, everywhere he goes. That's why anywhere you're out publicly with him all across the country, people just love the guy. And I think a lot of it is his roots back here in Chicago.
I think so.
We were talking briefly off the air. I don't know much about Pittsburgh. That's where you're from originally.
Yes.
Is it warm and friendly there, too?
Pittsburgh is a great city.
A little hesitation there, Bill.
I'm going to send a tape of this to the Chamber of Commerce in Pittsburgh, so
I'm
be very
I grew
careful.
Up there. But it's synonymous with sports, much like this town. It's a city that wins. The Penguins are on the verge, potentially, of winning another cup here. For me, there's an edge to Pittsburgh, which I appreciate. I just don't. Pittsburgh can be a strong cup of coffee. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Very blue collar. Very,
very, very blue collar.
Yeah.
And the minute you go up on a peg, you got 10 or 15 guys bringing it right back down to earth, which is great.
Yeah.
That's why I love it. But it is not Philly.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Philly can be a little acidic and a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh's like a smooth version of Philly. A little.
But you have to know how to forge steel or they won't talk to you there, right? If you don't have a.
Yeah, we put
ability.
French fries in our sandwiches. So it's just like, we're not a health conscious city. But
right.
I mean, look, when I had a choice to film my last hour special that just premiered a month ago on Showtime called Tell the Damn Joke.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, do you want to film it back home? And I was like, I got to film in Chicago because Chicago is synonymous with comedy.
Yeah.
Great, rich history. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. And it's not negating my love for Pittsburgh.
Right.
But if you're going to film an hour, you got to do it here in Chicago.
Good. Love hearing that.
And Andrew Santino just filmed his. He's a Chicago boy.
Yeah.
And he's on that new show called I'm Dying Up Here. That's on Showtime about the Comedy Store in the 70s. Here I am plugging somebody else's show, but great guy, great group of comics that are on that show. And if you love stand up, if you can't make it out to my show, you got to check this show out.
It peels back
the curtain. And Andrew Santino is a phenomenal comedian and one of Chicago's own as well.
It's nice of you to do.
Really
nice.
He's just a good dude. I think it's a tough enough business as it is, so any opportunity you get to tip the cap to somebody else that's doing something, why wouldn't
you? What movies should people see if they're not coming out to see you this weekend, Steve? Are there any movies playing?
Wonder Woman comes out June 2nd.
Okay, well,
I think it's 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah.
Steve Byrne is here. He's appearing at the Improv. There's something you might want to do. Go see Steve at the Improv this weekend. We'll talk more next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve Byrne is here. He is appearing at the Improv all this weekend. Go see him. Why wouldn't you go see him? You just mentioned a name, Peter Billingsley, and it just slid past really quickly. I know you're also friends with him, and you're not here to just name drop, but...
thought bubbles above our head went off.
Right. Though. Because for most of us, Peter Billingsley will always be, despite the fact that he has produced some great, great films over the years, he's the kid from Christmas Story. And
Ralphie,
you're friends with the kid from Christmas Story. Do you ever think about that?
You know what's so funny? For 2 months, I was friends. I didn't even know it was him. And then somebody's like, that's Ralphie. I'm like, oh, my God. I never put it together. And he is somebody that still... He appreciates the legacy of Christmas Story, and he's proud of it. He produced... the Broadway show when it came out. Now it's touring all around the country whenever it's holiday season. And we did a USO tour together about 2 or 3 years ago, and a lot of the soldiers flew in Red Ryder BB guns. And Peter signed every one of them for the, and they sent it back to the family and stuff. So I think it's something that he's proud of. And I think after all these years, he's accepted and, carried the torch and done really well with it.
Good.
Talk about those USO tours, because you mentioned it before. I'm looking at your jacket.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be such a great feeling.
It's professionally the best shows I've ever done, because even if you go... I literally just got back from Korea and Japan a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, professionally, they're the best shows I've ever done, because... You could go to Iraq and Afghanistan, they really need it. Or you go to Korea and Japan, and they still really need it because they're withdrawn. It's a semblance of home. And there's no better, outlet of laughter or energy that you'll get in the clubs or in theaters than you'll get from those guys.
They're so appreciative that you've come that far to see them. And
yeah. And again, it's just some sense of like being back home and talking. And so when you do these USO tours, you go and you tour... we'll go tour the hospital and, you're meeting people that are sick, but you're also meeting people that are doing paperwork. Then that's not in the commercial.
Right.
Rappelling out of a helicopter, but people need to fax stuff too. So, there's people that take great pride in that. And then you're meeting like special ops guys that are showing you these dune buggies that have like Uzis attached to them and stuff. And
Man. They
tell you about the regiment. It's like in his class, it was 27 guys and only three graduated, and he's tall and good looking, and it's just like, I want to sue my parents. This is not fair. But even being in Korea, there's a different perspective, because here the media's perpetuating it that like we're on the brink of World War III, right? And being of Korean descent, it's like, look, I've driven a Hyundai and a Kia. Those missiles aren't going anywhere.
Right.
So I think we're all okay. But over there, it's just like, are you guys scared? And all the soldiers are like, this has been going on for 50 years. He's posturing all the time. But just for some reason now or another, they're making it seem like it's a bigger issue than normal. And I think we do need to have a little perspective in this country, too. Because with Trump, everybody's like, Trump's nuts. Trump's off the rails. It's like, well, Kim Jong-un is pretty crazy, guys.
Yeah.
So let's just keep
a
lid on it.
But a great haircut.
Great haircut. Super cuts. I guess they have those in Korea. But like, you could have a world leader going, we're going to build a wall. It's going to be a great wall. And trust me, Mexico is going to pay for that wall. You're like, well, that sounds crazy. Or you get this guy that goes, I don't go poop. It's like, did he just say he doesn't go to the bathroom? That dude's crazy. When your best friend's Dennis Rodman and you invented the hamburger, you're nuts.
So you mentioned the troops weren't afraid, and I can't imagine they are because they've trained for this. But yeah. You're there, just a civilian, to entertain the troops.
Yeah.
Are you a little freaked out? Especially when you're looking with the dune buggies with the Uzis on it. It got real, didn't it?
Well, when you're in Korea and Japan or like the Philippines, you know, not in an active theater, then I think you feel a little safer because there's a Burger King right there. Mm-hmm. But when you're on Iraq and Afghanistan, it is a little, you know, I'll never forget the first tour I did was in 2004 with Colin Quinn and Robert Kelly. And this is when it was bad. You know, it was the height of it. And my brother was stationed there in Camp Victory North. So that was great to get to see my brother and hang out. And so he's hanging out with us for the day. And I'll never forget, we go out in Baghdad and we're in the middle of this kind of courtyard outside. And they have a flatbed truck with some camo sheet like on it. And then all these folding chairs in this courtyard. And I'm like, oh, we're going to do the show here. They go, yeah. So I'm looking around. I go, why is that sniper up on that building? They go, well, that sniper is there to look at all the snipers over on that building from the insurgents looking at us. And I'm like, shouldn't we be inside? Yeah. Like, why are we doing this outside? Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, this is the gig.
They got it under control.
You know, they look like they know what they're doing.
Right.
They have the drones and the camo. And
right.
Please, God, let this go well. And, you know, like, if something bad happens, it's like, well, you know, it'd be kind of cool to go out like this, I guess.
Nice publicity.
Nice publicity, yeah, Steve, for the legacy.
This weekend, right. As you're performing at the Improv in Woodfield and there's snipers, that must make you nervous because there's no reason for there to be snipers in Woodfield.
Exactly,
why would they do
yeah.
that?
And I'm performing underneath Elaine Bryant. So
yeah, see, you don't need that.
A little scary, yeah, all around.
That's very scary. You mentioned Korean. Now, if I remember right, half Korean and half Irish, right?
Yes, Caucasian and Asian, which makes me Caucasian is the proper term. So thank you for the setup, Byron Allen. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. This is kicking it with Byron Allen.
Yeah,
welcome
oh my
aboard.
God. In front of an aquarium and just random.
But, you know, there was a time where stand-ups, they were looking for that kind of a hook of having an interesting genetic mutation. And you,
yeah.
Wow, you hit the jackpot.
I hit the jackpot, and it did nothing for my career.
Nothing.
Nothing for my career. And, you know, it's something you address early on in your career. And then, you know, Sullivan's Son came along, and that was fun to, like, poke fun at stereotypes and everything. And that was part of the fun of Brian Doyle Murray, another Chicago native. Mm-hmm. His character, you know, the show ultimately was different facets of my act. So Carol represented the sexuality or the sex jokes I would make in my act. Brian Doyle Murray was the race. The guys were the Greek chorus and talking about being a young guy and single and all that stuff. And then my family was there so I could make fun of my mom and my Irish father, who was played by an Italian named Dan Loria.
Oh,
so
right.
It was kind of a weird thing.
The
but,
father from Wonder Years.
Yes.
From Wonder Years, yeah. And so all those different facets enabled us to talk about not only my upbringing, but race in general, which I think a lot of the comics do
right.
in the parking lot of the Comedy Store or
right.
in the back bar of the Improv.
But there was a time where a TV would look for comics, a guy like Freddie Prinze or Gabe Kaplan, and say, we could build a show around them. And you were one of the last bastions of that. They don't do that as much anymore, but they did that with you.
And look, they don't make many multicams anymore.
No.
Either. So, I mean, the multicam is... The thing about the industry which upsets me is that there is a an elitism with these single camera shows mm-hmm. because there's clever jokes in them. Whereas a multicam, you're filming in front of a live studio audience and the joke either worked or didn't. And if it didn't, it didn't make it to air. So everything you see elicited a laughter and the audience doesn't have a gun to their head. They're laughing
right.
at the joke or they're not. And I think that in turn, just with the people that sit in cubicles that review these shows have mm-hmm. such a, you know, a distinguished palate that
yeah.
they look down upon these shows that we all grew up with and
yeah.
love. Married with Children, those are hard laughs. Cheers, those are great laughs. And part of me is sad that that show, the multicam sitcom, is slowly fading away in lieu of these single cam shows, which I appreciate them as much as anybody else does. But mm-hmm. if you're watching 30 Rock, you're going to go, that was a smart joke,
yeah.
but you're not laughing out loud like you did when you watched Married with Children.
That's true.
And that kind of breaks my heart because
yeah.
I grew up with multicams, and our show was a throwback to those
right.
shows. It was
right.
just quick, hard jokes, a sentimental, heartfelt moment at the end, so you knew these people all still loved each other and cared about each other, and that's really what
that's
it was
what
about.
You
but nowadays,
good.
You know,
it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, as I'm getting ready to go pitch my own single camp, you know, in a few weeks. So, yeah.
Good, you'll get that working. Yeah. That's Steve Byrne. Go see him at the Improv. You want to visit ChicagoImprov.com. All the information is there for tickets and availability throughout the weekend. Great to see you again.
Thank you guys so much for having me. By the way, you know, continued success to you guys, because a lot of times as a comic, you go and do these tours, you got to promote the shows, whatever, and sometimes these are not as much fun as they set out to be, but this was a blast.
Good.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Appreciate it, guys.
We'll take a quick break, and then news is next. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. A story that hit the news a while back, and we tried to get the parents on to discuss this story, and they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We tried to get the attorney for the family, and I don't know that we've ever clicked to get him. So I would like to talk about Corey Walgren, a 16-year-old Naperville North High School student. This is a terrible story about school discipline, and prior to the story coming to light, anytime my kids were sent to the office, if they were ever, I said, you know what? You listen to the school. You do what they tell you.
Yeah.
I have a completely different view on things now. 16-year-old Corey Walgren, he had no criminal history, never been in serious trouble at school. In a nutshell, he had had some relations with another student, a 16-year-old girl, and allegedly videotaped the act.
Right.
The girl went to the principal at the school and said, you know, I'm worried that he's going to release this video. So they called a Corey Walgren down into the office, and he was questioned about possessing and possibly sharing child pornography. And they kind of threatened him, according to reports, that he'd be put on the state sex offender registry. And they talked to him for about 20 minutes, and they had tried contacting his parents. They couldn't get a hold of the dad. They finally got a hold of the mom. They told Corey, why don't you sit out here and wait for your mom to show up? So the mom is on her way. There's a Naperville school police officer that's there at the school, and they're really scaring this kid.
He was in on the confrontation part, the Naperville police officer.
Yes,
was in
and
on that.
And the principal, the two of them.
They were in on it.
Now, this is a 16-year-old junior in high school. First of all, child pornography, I know legally perhaps it is, but there are a lot of kids in high school that have sex for the first time.
Yeah.
When something about being put on the state sex offender registry, that's a scare tactic that would scare somebody straight, I think.
I'm surprised with allegations this strong that they didn't wait until at least one of his parents were present, if not an attorney. That seems strange to me that they wouldn't have that kind of representation there in the room.
That's what really scares me. And let me go on to say, Maureen Walgren, Corey's mom, said they didn't just scare him straight, they scared him to death. Here's what happened. As he was sitting there waiting for his mom, his mom was called, and she's a nurse. She was on her way to the school.
Yeah.
And she arrived at the school, and they said, well, we kind of have a problem. We don't know where Corey is.
Mm-hmm.
So she was hoping against hope maybe he went back up to class.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. He had exited the building, and he went to a parking structure. Was sitting on the parking structure. A police officer in Naperville saw this kid sitting up there and didn't know if he was a threat to anyone. So the police officer claims that he drove around to clear himself of any danger if perhaps this kid was armed.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that this was the kid that was missing from the school. By the time the officer pulled around, Corey had fallen or jumped, and he died.
Yeah.
And I've told my kids about this story, and I have told them if they're ever brought into the office about anything and they're being questioned about anything, be very respectful, look into their eyes, mm-hmm. and say, I don't mean any disrespect here, but I don't feel comfortable talking about this until one of my parents arrives.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to handle it, I think.
Because you think about it, Bill, this kid allegedly showed what was supposed to be the videotape to the principal and the police officer that was stationed at the school.
Corey showed it to
yes.
them?
Yes. And there was
so
no video.
Oh, there was.
It was dark. It was just some audio. And I just have so many questions. Like, I understand that this girl was embarrassed and thinking maybe Corey was going to show this video to people and it would get around.
Yeah.
She told the principal, I don't know, don't you tell your parents? It didn't happen on school grounds. I know the school has a duty to look into things, but it just seems like it was handled terribly.
My guess there is that she was probably too embarrassed to share this with her parents, to let her parents know.
But don't listen to what you just said. You're willing to tell it to a school official before your own parents?
I know that sounds crazy, but if I was in a similar situation, I'd be more comfortable with my parents not knowing. I'd rather go to an outside source and keep it from my parents, if that's possible. I'm not putting any blame on her. It was handled wrong from the get-go. The whole thing is handled wrong.
I mean, they should have contacted his parents, and then when they arrived, gone and taken him out of lunch and said, could you come down into the office?
Right. That it should have played out that way, and I'm sure they would tell you after this tragic ending.
No, the school's saying they did everything the way they were supposed to. I'm just thinking, this is such unbelievable consequences, this sex offender registry for a 16-year-old kid who had sex, which I got to tell you, there are a lot of 16-year-old kids and younger that have had sex.
Sure.
And I just feel like that's a parent's job then to be in on that meeting to at some point go, you know what, Corey, stop talking. Again, no disrespect, but we're going to get an attorney and we'll discuss this when they're ready.
Right. With charges that strong, yeah, you would want for sure a parent or two there, but an attorney also. I'm mostly surprised that the school is standing by their version of the story because the end couldn't have been worse, but I don't know that they handled that properly.
Yeah, that's my question to people out there. 312-981-7200. I am heartbroken for the family of Corey Walgren. I know the school didn't expect this kid had no suicidal tendencies. He was on a hockey team. He was a great student. In fact, he had told his parents about this encounter that he had before this all came to light.
What did he tell?
According to the story that was in the Chicago Tribune, he had discussed the act that happened with this particular girl, and
including the part that he taped it, or just that
So I don't know if I have that information, but the parents went on to say it was an uncomfortable conversation, but we did discuss things that, you know, you got to be careful with what you do this day and age, and especially when it involves sex. And the mom said, anytime there's something in the news involving that, I would always point it out to Corey's attention and say, look, you got to be careful out there.
Right, sure.
Be careful what you do.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it's a trivial issue. First of all, here's a warning out there. Don't videotape or audio tape anything. It's just going to come back to haunt you in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
But kids have sex, and I'm just curious because it didn't happen on school grounds, and I just kind of feel like if there was some situation where there was a threat to another student or someone was going to get harmed, the school has to get involved.
Right.
I mean, their job is to protect the students.
Yeah, sure,
but this just seems like something that should have been happening...
Off campus.
Yeah, and not with the school involved.
But I could understand if I'm this girl. The girl was also 16, right? Both Corey and this girl were 16. I could see her embarrassment and thinking, how do we take care of this problem and not let my parents know that I either slept with this guy or that there was a tape involved? I see that channel if you're her.
But can I say something? You're under 18. You're 16 years of age. Don't they have to tell your parent?
I don't know that they have to. I don't know.
I certainly think if they get this information, they'd have to notify the parent.
I would just be guessing.
I am too, and it's just heartbreaking.
But at your, like, when you were going to school, like, I know for a fact in both my grade school, and I can think of a couple instances in the high school, where there was some episode that happened that wasn't necessarily school-related or based,
like a fight off grounds or something
like
that?
Yeah, but the school somehow got involved, you know? I remember in grade school, there were two families that lived down the street from each other that were always fighting.
The Hatfields and the McCoys?
The Hatfields and the McCoys. And I remember one of the priests sitting down with them and saying, look, our job is to get together and make this better. We don't want to make this worse. It keeps getting worse. What do we need to do to figure this out so that you guys cannot always be fighting when you're in school, when you're out of school all the time? And I thought that was a pretty good thing that the school did. This is a different issue, and this couldn't have ended worse. I don't know how it could have ended worse. But I like a school that takes charge a little bit. That's the problem, is that, to threaten him this way was not...
That you're
going to
be on
interest.
The sex offender list. I mean,
right.
It just, I know it's a serious issue.
Were they trying to get him to just turn over the tape?
No, because he showed it. He said that they asked, you know,
what was their goal in this?
I think they were really just trying to scare him straight to, you know, don't do anything, because they said that there are ways
to... release the tape to his friends and show it to people?
I think so. And they made it seem like they wanted to handle it internally where they wouldn't really get the police involved. They wanted full cooperation.
Yeah.
But... That's some heavy stuff to lay on a 16-year-old kid.
Sure.
I'm an adult, and if somebody accused me of something like that, I'd be freaking out. I can't imagine how a 16-year-old felt.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. All right. There's a lot of people that want to get in on this, and we don't blame you. We're 312-981-7200. Your thoughts, you can call us there or text us there. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about a story that appeared in the Chicago Tribune last week. 16-year-old Naperville North High School student Corey Walgren was reprimanded at school and left the school while his mother was on his way there, and he committed suicide. In a statement to the Tribune, Naperville Police Chief Robert Marshall called Corey's death a tragedy, but said the officer who questioned him acted properly. At the time of the incident, the police department determined that the school resource officer followed proper policies and procedures. Also, Naperville District 203 officials also provided a statement saying the district was incredibly saddened by Corey's death, but believed it handled the situation appropriately. If I may just add to this, according to police records, the school dean spoke with Corey about this recording of an alleged sex act for 18 minutes before trying to reach out to his parents. Mm. That seems unacceptable.
Right, it does, doesn't it?
Ron is a school counselor, or a retired school counselor. Hi, Ron, how are you?
Hi, I'm just fine.
Now, we have mentioned that the girl in question brought it to the attention of the dean that she had participated in a sex act with this kid. There was a video, and she was worried it was going to get around. At that point, why wasn't that girl's parents called to get involved in this?
Well, let me correct one thing. I am a retired school administrator, not a counselor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that's okay. But I believe that they, you know, without being there, that they probably followed what standard procedure. I believe that they had to act on the girl's request for some assistance on this. If they hadn't have done that, they would have had the girl's parents, when they finally found out, calling them, and then they would have a totally another issue to deal with, or a lawsuit. So I believe, without talking to people involved, that they probably followed their normal pattern. And it sounds like that, as you stated, they were trying to play a tough love scenario with the young man, hoping that he would just learn a lesson and it wouldn't have to go any further.
Is it correct, to not have a parent present as they spoke to Corey for 18 minutes before parents were even called? That seems crazy to me.
Well, again, without, you know, being in part of that conversation, the fact that they weren't going to charge him with anything, it sounded like they were just making that possible threat about it. I would say, yes, it's normal procedure. But there is clearly a law broken, a school law, or a legal system law, then they absolutely would have had to call right away. It sounds like to me they were trying to just do due diligence and take care of the girl's wish and hope that it went the right way. Obviously, the young man, took things into his own hands and was scared to death, possibly. And you know what? Maybe he just accidentally fell. There's no way to prove that or disprove it, I suppose, at this point. my bottom line is I feel terrible for the parents. I had three daughters myself, and I would hate to be going through this. But at some point, there was some responsibility here of the young man. He had no problem, it seems like, participating in an activity that would create life. And unfortunately, he made a horrible decision at the end of this. So it's the whole thing just couldn't have gone south any worse than it did.
So after hearing about this, and I have told my kids if they're ever questioned about anything to say, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't feel comfortable talking about this till one of my parents is here. Would school administrators accept that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the parents' word is always the final word, at least at my school district it was. So they would have, of course, respected that and not pushed the issue any further. Because that's the last thing you want is to have what they have now is have a lawsuit from the parents or things like that.
And that so is what's
I'm
happening.
I'm sure they would have respected. Yes, and I feel awful. And I, you know, for those folks, you know, it's if it's not about the money, then reduce the lawsuit to a dollar and get your piece of flesh that way and make a point rather than really going after money. But you know, I can't stay anymore with being in that position. Who knows what can happen? You know.
Thank you. We thank you for your expertise on this, Ron.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Ron.
It.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Anonymous caller wants to chime in on this as well. You are a friend of the Walgren family?
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I feel terrible that Corey Walgren felt desperate enough to walk out and take his own life, and I wish he would have known that he could have said, I'm not saying anything till one of my parents is here.
And you know what? I'm with you guys 100%. I wish he would have had the nerve or the courage to step up and say that, but he didn't. You know, and here's these adult professional deans, administrators, whatever you want to call them, a police officer. They question the kid, as you said, for 18 minutes, and I'm pretty sure their policy doesn't say scare the crap out of a kid for 18 minutes and then leave him in the room alone and walk away. You know, I'm pretty sure that's not in their policy.
That is exactly what my 14-year-old son said. After being scared and reprimanded like that, why wasn't he, why wasn't somebody monitoring him while he waited for his parents? That was the first thing my son asked me.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, too, so I've had two kids go through the system. I've got one in college, one that's graduated, and I do have a younger one now that will be actually entering that same high school this coming fall. And, you know, the administration has changed in Naperville. We used to have teachers and principals that it was kids first, you know, and if you're accused of anything, let's talk through it. Let's figure it out. Let's do this. Now the approach, not even in the high school, but the middle schools is kids are guilty. Like I've had a couple issues with my kid, and I've heard some other parents where they come in and they're accusing kids, you know, outright of doing bad things. And then they actually turned out to be absolutely nothing at all.
That happened to me as well, and it's unacceptable.
It's extremely unacceptable, and it's really frustrating. I mean, I personally think whoever the dean was should no longer be a dean, the principal should no longer be a principal, and the cop should no longer be a cop.
Thank you for calling.
You know what? It's not even about the dollars. It's about making it right. And they'll never make it right because Corey's never coming back.
That's the worst part of it, isn't it?
Sorry for your loss. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much. It's really scary to me.
It is scary.
And I
it's
just
awful.
Wish Corey would have known before he felt so desperate. I mean, these are serious charges. You're going to be on the sex offender list for the rest of your life.
Right.
You think it's pretty hopeless.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Talk to awful. Your kids. That's really all we're trying to do here. And sorry for the Walgren family.
Yeah, it's tragic. All right, we must take a break. We've got news next, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Who is he?
He's Dean. He's Dean Richards, loved by millions, Wendy, hated by a few.
And we've actually counted.
Right.
The ones that hate me, I mean.
Right.
It's a lot easier to count.
It's a handful of people, Dean. You're never going to bat 1,000. So if you have a couple people who hate you, what's wrong with that? But
yep.
Millions love you.
Wait a second.
You.
Two more just checked in who hate me.
Oh.
I couldn't live with myself.
No.
We have a tote board.
You do?
Yeah.
From the old telephone?
It's from the old telephone that we don't use anymore. Now it's a Who Hates Dean telephone.
Dean, get a carry-all bag.
Yeah. A weird promotion, isn't it? That's a strange promotion. Dean, I was very surprised about something at the box office, and here's what it is. Going into last week, I said to myself, well, Baywatch, even though it looks really stupid, everyone's going to go see Baywatch.
And it was.
And it was. And Pirates of the Caribbean, people have seen this a bunch of times. Johnny Depp dressed like a pirate. No one's going to go to see that.
You thought that?
I did think that. I couldn't have been more wrong.
I can't wait to see that.
No, it's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great movie. It's not going to, you know, hit you over the head the way the first one did, at least for me anyway. I was completely blown away by the first Pirates movie. When that opened up back in 1937, I remember seeing FDR.
He was there.
He was at the opening for that.
Yeah.
I would make a good female pirate, by the way.
I think you would.
You totally
I would really
would.
Like to do
I
it.
I think you would.
Yeah. Low cut tops.
Yep.
Yep. A cinched waist.
Yeah.
Is that all there is
and to And I could swear.
Right.
Nonstop.
And really, nobody wears a parrot on her shoulder. Better than Wendy.
Now, did you see the comments, The Rock, because all the critics said some unkind things about Baywatch, and The Rock was thrown by this. He was shocked that people didn't love this movie.
That's not the first time he's gotten terrible reviews.
No.
If I inject his movie Tooth Fairy into the mix, you know, you throw the dice, and sometimes you hit and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, but he's the best actor in all the land.
And future president of the United States. I know.
President of the United States. He is, Dean, I was talking about this the other day. He's not just the highest paid actor of right now. He is the highest paid actor of all time.
Take that, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That's really sad information that you have shared with us.
Yeah.
Take that, Sir Laurence Olivier.
Believe me, when I first thought about this, there were 50 names in my head, just like right off the bat. I think about Daniel Day-Lewis, who's never been less than excellent in a single movie and doesn't come close to making what The Rock makes.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, seriously, people do like him very much. And, you know, he's very charismatic. He's very generous. It's easy to see why people like him. As much as I hated this movie, and I almost gave it a F. I think I'm losing my edge a little bit.
Oh.
I just couldn't pull the trigger on an F.
Oh.
You're getting nicer.
You are getting nicer. What's the last F you gave a movie to?
It was Fist Fight, that Ice Cube and Charlie Day movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really, there's no reason why I shouldn't have given Baywatch.
Right.
And F. I'd like to retract my D minus.
Upon further review.
Yeah. Because it's...
That bad.
Aside from seeing, you know, The Rock and Zac Efron and some of your favorite actresses all bouncing around the screen, there really is nothing to the movie at all. It's not really nostalgic.
It's not fun?
I would say it's not fun.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say I left a little more depressed than when I went in.
Dean, your friend Jim Toronto was sitting in for Wendy one day last week, and we were trying to come up with movies that started out as TV shows, and then they made a movie version, and it actually worked. And the only ones that Jim and I could come up with were the Brady Bunch movies. We thought those were really good, but nothing else made sense to us.
Miami Vice didn't work for you?
They made a movie?
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
I didn't see that.
Did you say Charlie's Angels?
Charlie's Angels wasn't very good, was
Not
it?
Not even the Dukes of Hazzard?
No.
Oh, Dukes of Hazzard.
I didn't see
no.
it.
Oof. No. Oof. Nope.
Dukes of Hazzard made Baywatch look like Citizen Kane.
There's your quote.
Wow. Orson Welles just texted me, and he went, what?
I remember Jessica Simpson was in that, right?
Yeah,
I love her.
Daisy
I don't
Duke
know why, but Dizzy Duke, did you say?
Dizzy Duke.
I asked her, I interviewed her for that movie, and I was just, I had like a little quiz for her, five questions of really simple questions, and she couldn't answer any of them.
Them
correctly. I didn't expect that to happen.
Remember how mad Helen Mirren got because she was up for the same role and she lost it? She was furious.
She is smoking hot, I got to tell you, Helen Mirren.
She would look good in some Daisy Dukes.
Yeah. Yes, she would.
No disagreement here.
If I was of that persuasion, that's who I'd go after.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I just love her.
Yeah, she's adorable. She was in town last week.
I know.
She was.
You got to talk to her.
Getting an award at the Chicago Film Festival, gave her an award, and she was here with her husband Taylor Hackford, who's an Oscar winner, directed lots of terrific movies.
Officer and a Gentleman, is that his?
Was that his movie? I can't remember.
I think so.
I'd have to look that up. But I mean, he's done Ray. He's done several contemporary films.
Yeah.
But they could not be a cuter couple.
They seem very happy together. Anytime I see them together, they're always smiling. And,
very much.
Yeah.
Well, if that marriage doesn't work out.
Right.
Helen, I'll tell her.
Yeah.
Here's my
Wendy's
number.
Ready, I'll and she her. Dresses like a pirate.
I know so. A pirate chick who's talking to you.
Speaking of celebrity marriages, were you as surprised as Wendy and I were about Ben Stiller and Christine Taylor breaking up?
I was actually kind of, it's one of those breakups where you go, oh.
I've never met either of them. Maybe you have, but I felt like, oh, that's a couple that should have lasted forever.
Yeah.
But only because of his parents being, that's what really hurts me.
I think that's what it is, that because of the longevity of the parents' marriage.
Yeah, and that's what made me so sad. It's like, he had good role models, you know?
You just never hear, any drama about them. You never see them in the, in the tabloids, anything. So you just assume that everything is
no news is good news.
Going okay, but hey, you try being married to Zoolander and see how. You try having breakfast with Zoolander every day.
He's a diva.
It might not be easy. Is that what you're implying?
I don't know. I can't imagine. Good morning, honey. And he gives you that like I just sucked on a lemon look.
Yeah, I love that look.
Blue steel. Is that what it's called in the movie?
Blue steel.
He gives you the blue steel.
Wow.
Pose.
Somebody was taking notes.
Yeah.
I try to forget these as quickly as I can.
Dean, I keep seeing ads. I know this isn't a TV segment per se, but I keep seeing ads for the new Gong Show. And then the host of it is a guy who I had never heard of. And then I find out I'm being tricked. Do you know what I'm referring to?
I don't.
All right. They keep telling us every time you see an ad for the Gong Show, there's a British guy who's the host. And they tell you that he's the number one comedian in all of England, but he's new to the United States. And I go, well, I got to know more about this. How do I not know the number one comedian in England? And it turns out that it's Mike Myers playing a character. But he's the host of the Gong Show.
Fat Bastard?
No, it's... I'm trying to think of who I could equate it to. He's like, I don't know. He'd be like a late night talk show host, but he would only be known in England. Like we would not, there's guys who are like
those guys with the bad sideburns.
That occasionally you see clips. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bit like his Austin Powers. That's like a spoof.
A little bit. Yeah.
Caricature of an English character.
No, I think it might be funnier this way.
Yeah, I think he's better to not be himself.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I know I'm the only one in this studio who doesn't like Jiminy Glick, but...
Oh, I love Jiminy Glick.
I know you did.
I do, too.
So funny. All right, Dean Richards is here, and he'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend.
Wonder Woman
is one of them.
Nice wristbands, Dean.
Captain Underpants
is another one. We'll get to those next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Dean Richards on WGN.
Dean Deeney, he went to the show. Dean Deeney. I got to make a new song.
That was beautiful.
I will do that.
That was so beautiful.
Wow.
Dean and I have tears in our eyes.
Yeah.
Could be allergies. It might just be hay fever.
I have some entertainment breaking news.
What's breaking? What is it, Dean?
Just came over during the break.
What?
That tonight's performance of Pamplona at the Goodman Theater has been canceled.
What?
Because of the health of Stacey Keach. I don't know if you heard the other day that he was actually in the middle of a performance.
Uh-huh.
This was the official opening night performance, so all the press was there, and he became seemingly disoriented.
He was
repeating the same lines over and over again. He looked lost, and something was going on. He went on with that for a little while. They canceled the show. Robert Falls, the artistic director, came out and said that he hadn't been feeling well all day, going to seek medical attention.
Yeah.
So that was the last that we heard of it until now. And the Goodman has canceled tonight's performance at 7:30, saying that he's still under medical attention. If you're holding tickets for that, you should contact the Goodman Theater to get more information. And I've got one more bit of interesting breaking news. This just came over. Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas are going to get back together again to reunite as the McKinsey Brothers.
What?
That's awesome news.
How about that?
I like to hear that. Rick Moranis kind of dropped out of show business.
His wife
died, and he took a sabbatical.
Yeah, they're going to be doing a July 18th benefit concert in Toronto.
Yeah.
And the three of us are all going to go
yes.
together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Road
I bet
trip.
That Rush
Bill and Wendy
play.
Road trip.
I do have to say about Stacy Keach, he's in a movie called The New Centurions. It's an old movie. It's about 35 years old. It's George C. Scott and Stacy Keach. And every time I catch it on TV, if I'm flipping around and there it is, I have to watch the rest of it. It's one of those movies that I've seen
right.
a dozen, 15 times.
You got to watch.
Yeah. He's just so good in
he's
it.
He's an amazing actor. It's like a one-man show that he was doing on the latter part of Ernest Hemingway's life.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's an old. He's like this old-school actor. He wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
They told him, why don't we postpone this? And he was...
The show must go
the
on.
The show must go on. He's, you know, old-time stage actor.
Right.
I must go. I'll get through it. I'll somehow get through it. Unfortunately, he didn't.
I hope he's okay.
So we hope that he's okay.
The show must go on, Dean.
Yeah.
Unlike here, a couple of weeks ago, Wendy couldn't find her pen, and she's like, I'm not doing the show. I can't find my pen.
I got a little coughing jag the other day, and I went home. Right in the middle of a commercial, I just went home. The commercial ended.
I don't need this.
Nobody even noticed I was gone. There was dead air for like 3 hours, and nobody even said anything.
That's horrible. I know. I hate hearing that.
I'm a little offended.
All right, what about Wonder Woman? It looks good. Is it as good as it looks?
It's
I hope so.
Better than it looks.
Oh, good.
It's better than it looks. Maybe best movie of the year.
What?
I'm going to say so far.
What?
It is best superhero movie in a long, long, long time.
Oh, wow.
Since
Deadpool.
Well,
I loved Deadpool
was really good.
In a different way. Yeah, yeah. Deadpool was surprising, but this one kind of reminded me of the first Iron Man movie.
Oh, wow.
Like, the first Batman movie, and I think part of it is that it's the first in what is obviously going to be a franchise of Wonder Woman movies. The movie starts with her as a child. We go through the whole legacy where from where she comes, how she grows up, what her destiny is to be. You're introduced to all the familiar characters that you know from either the comic books or the Linda Carter TV show, or the animated feature. They cover everything.
Mm.
The director, Patty Jenkins, who this is her first feature film, by the way. The director mostly had done television shows. This is an amazing job that she does, putting this whole thing together of, first of all, just including everything. Directing Israeli actress Gal Gadot, who is now Wonder Woman, who is great in this movie. Along with Chris Pine and Connie Nielsen and Robin Wright. It's got a great cast. Visually, it's so impressive and so stunning to look at. Everything works in this movie. The story, the action sequences, it's nostalgic. Everything is clicking along. Big fat Dean's List A on this
one. Nice.
Really, really like this.
Does she have an invisible plane like in the comic books?
They did not show the invisible plane.
But it's invisible. Maybe that's there and we couldn't see it.
Well, maybe it was there for the whole movie. And
is there an invisible United plane that she gets kicked off of? That's what I heard.
An invisible flight attendant. I'm getting dragged off this plane.
That would
How
look
is
cool.
This happening?
If we didn't see the dragger, just the draggy,
yeah.
That would be awesome.
That'd be excellent.
That
All right,
be,
so Dean says,
I'm
so
say
far the best of the year.
Yeah, it's wow. pretty good. Here's my only thing with this. A couple of minor little things, and obviously it didn't affect my grade with this because I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have killed them to give Linda Carter a tiny little cameo?
I was going to ask, but I didn't want it to be a spoiler because I would have thought for sure she had a little cameo appearance.
I think it was must have been by some kind of mutual decision because Linda Carter was at the premiere. She appeared with Gal Gadot on the red carpet. Seems to be a very friendly relationship. They thank her in the credits.
They do?
They thank Linda Carter.
Well, then why isn't she? She could have played Wonder Woman's Aunt Lolly. Wouldn't that have been great? She goes to visit her Aunt Lolly and they have lunch and it's Linda Carter. That would have been great.
Just sitting there with them. How's your invisible magic rope? Knitting. She's knitting with
it. Right. Yeah, that would have worked. Why don't they ever ask us our ideas, Dean?
I don't know what
fair.
The big idea is. To just she's walking down the street and
right.
there she is standing on the street.
That would have been easy.
It's a nice tip of the hat.
Yep, so true. So,
so
true.
That's number one. Number two, I sit through the closing credits,
mm-hmm.
as I often do, just because I want to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And my shoes are stuck to the ground from all the junk that's on the floor. But, you know, I was waiting to see if there's going to be a little extra scene after the credits, as they often do. Mostly,
bonus scene.
I love those.
Mostly Marvel does that.
Yeah.
But others have as well. If you're going to go see this movie this weekend, no need to wait, if that's what you're waiting for. No extra scene, no bonus scene.
All right.
At the end of this. So
that's all right.
I could have gotten out of the parking lot about 10 minutes faster.
Now you know better. All right, and then quick, we have 30 seconds. Captain Underpants, worth it or not?
I hope it's good.
Worth seeing.
Yeah.
Are you familiar? Do you know the books?
I read those books to both my boys. We took turns, Jim and I, reading to them every night. Loved those books by Dave Pilkey, I believe.
I'm not as familiar with the Underpants series as I probably should be.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the movie. It's, from what I'm told, very true to the books. It's irreverent. It's silly. It's fun. It's interesting. I kind of enjoyed it.
Good.
I think, you know, for your kids, I think your kids are going to enjoy it. I gave it a Dean's List B. Probably.
That's pretty good.
A little kid probably would give it a little higher than that.
Yeah.
But I would enjoy either of those.
And Linda Carter is not in Captain Underpants either.
That I cannot disclose.
All right. That'd be a surprise.
Princess Thong.
That's
the sequel.
Wow.
Oh, now we're
You'd
talking.
Watch.
There it is.
Yeah, so a couple of good ones for this weekend.
Excellent. Sweet. Dean, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
That's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.